Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on The Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 10:03 on The Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here till 1 o'clock. Mike's on. Francesa on The Fan will come your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Good show for you today. Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts will join us. He, of course, of CBS. He'll be with Ian Eagle doing the Ravens-Steeler game Sunday. Paul Dottino on the Giants and their woes. And we also got our good buddy John Heyman with all the baseball stuff. How you doing, bro?
Bro.
Did you go to the Met game? I actually watched, I got to say, last night was the last home game. I know you went.
Yes.
And I actually watched the Met game. I wanted to see the last home game, you know, last game at Citi Field this year. So I actually watched the game. And, you know, I first of all, and I know you brought it up too, I was surprised. It was a pretty good crowd last night.
Yeah, I was stunned by that.
You know,
what was the attendance?
What kind of attendance?
What they announced. I guess they announced in the mid-20s, but there were actually people that showed up, I guess, to say farewell to the biggest disappointment from a Mets team we've ever seen.
Right,
yeah, basically, that's what it was.
Pretty bad.
But there was a decent crowd. I was disappointed at first because I want to see Ahmed Rosario. I want to see Dom Smith. Luckily, I was able to see Dom Smith in a pinch-hit bomb.
Big three-run home run. Absolutely.
And there was it wasn't loud, but there was a Terry Collins chant towards the end of
and
the game.
And also for Reyes, too. Weren't they chanting Jose for Reyes?
I heard a little bit for Jose Reyes.
Right,
Yeah, so I don't think Sandy Alderson's listening. I don't think Jeff Wilpon's listening.
Well, I'd bring Reyes back. He's not. He you could get him back here at no money at all.
It seems like Jose Reyes will come back and work for free,
yeah,
basically.
I would think he would.
You can get him on the cheap, and that's appealing.
Yeah, I agree. I want
to
see
not him. Just to me, but I think to the Mets organization.
Yeah, well,
they like that.
Yeah, well, we know they like the cheap.
The guy who works cheap.
No, I want to see him finish his career as a Met. I do. I just hope. Look, I'm no matter what they do at manager, and Kit Collins is going to be gone, Worthen's going to be gone, there's going to be some changes. I don't think there's any question about it. Please spend some money in the offseason. Please don't tell me that Asdrubal Cabrera is going to be the starting third baseman on opening day. Go out and try and sign a guy like Moustakas. Please, I'm begging them to do something with free agents in the offseason.
It's funny. This morning, Giannotti and Boomer had David Ross on, who all of a sudden is like the most popular guy in Chicago. Everybody loves him. He's on Dancing with the Stars. He's a big celebrity.
Dave, the former, major
Cub,
leaguer,
the
Giant,
former
right?
Red Sox,
well,
all over
a million
the
teams, right?
And G asked him a question, and he said, "David Ross, you know a lot about baseball. You're really in tune. If you were the GM of the Mets, what's the first thing you would do?" And you know what David Ross said?
What?
The first thing he would do is tell ownership to open up the checkbook.
He did say that,
he
huh?
He did.
Well, there you go. So even David Ross, maybe he's a Met fan, David Ross.
No, well, maybe he's intelligent. I think that's what it is.
Right.
And
right.
He knows the deal.
Right.
But, you know, sitting there last night, it was making me think, I can't believe here I am in September watching a 90-loss Met team.
Unbelievable.
Because when you think of the different eras in Met history, and you could label it however you want, the Miracle Mets era with Tom Seaver from 69 to about 74, 75.
Yeah, I call it the Tom Seaver era.
I think that's fair.
I'll say it right till he was gone, which would be, you know, 77, 76 into 77.
And overall, that was the most successful era in Met history because they got two pennants.
Two pennants.
So I give that number one.
Right.
Then you had a long break, right? Long break. Then you had, you want to call it the Daryl and Doc era? You can call it that.
Yep.
From 1984, really, to about 1990.
It's 84 to 90.
There you go.
The one thing about that era, even though you want to say they were more successful, 69 to the Seaver era, The one thing about that team is that that's the one team, though, every year I felt they had a chance to win the World Series.
You're right. Like,
from 84 to 90, every year I felt we had a shot to do it.
And they had some pound-for-pound great teams.
Yep.
But, boy, did they win.
They only got
one World Series.
They got one.
And only that one pennant.
That's it.
Then you
now,
had
it was a little different landscape then because you only had you had to win the division to get in the playoffs, and that was it.
Then you've got the darkness. You got the worst team money could buy and all that. And then you've got the Bobby V / Mike Piazza era.
Yes.
That went from 98 to 2001.
Yeah.
And it was okay. Two playoff appearances. Yep. Losing to the Yankees in the World Series.
Was not good, but still.
Then you had the darkness again.
Yep.
Then you had the, you want to call it the Wright Reyes, the Los Mets, the Omar Minaya era, whatever you want to call it.
Yep, yep.
From 05 to 08.
Right.
Where you had.
Which was very disappointing because of the, you know, they didn't win in 06. And then, you know, to choke 2 years in a row, it wasn't good.
Exactly. So overall disappointment. And then you got the darkness again.
Yep.
And then you had the era that I thought was going to sustain itself. We'll call it the young gun era with all the young pitchers.
Right, right.
And it was two stinking years,
That's it.
And they were two exciting years.
Yeah, we were excited.
Getting to the World Series.
And last year.
The pseudo playoffs, whatever you want to call that. And what's so stunning to me as I sat there last night is, oh, my God, that era's over.
It's unbelievable.
It was 2 years.
Yeah, it's gone.
You blinked and it was gone. It was the shortest show of all the eras.
Yeah, yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, let me say this. If they came back next year and Syndergaard's healthy, DeGrom is, you know, just be as good as you were this year, if you're DeGrom. And you get one of these guys, I don't know who it is, Wheeler, Harvey, it sounds insane. Matt's one of these guys to be healthy and have a solid year. You know, maybe you could still look at it as the same era because you still have Cespedes here. You know, hopefully Conforto's going to, I don't know what's going to be with Conforto.
Prove me wrong then, because you know what? Here's the problem.
Yeah, okay, no, I'm just saying. And obviously Collins will be gone,
look,
but, you know.
We could sit here and rationalize how they can be good, and maybe they will be. But Matt Harvey will never be the same.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
That is, no, you got to feel good about that.
It's hard to see Harvey ever being the same.
So really, that era is down to two guys, Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard. Yeah, you hope they're healthy, you hope they're good, but it just feels like we've seen the best. It does. That's the way I felt. Maybe it's because they lost 90-plus games this year. It feels like we have already seen the best of this era.
Yeah.
And that's a massive disappointment.
It may very well turn out
to
be.
And I'll tell you the other thing that's a massive disappointment. It's a different subject, and I shouldn't have been surprised. But yesterday, for Odell Beckham Jr. to come out of his meeting with John Mara, he is brought to the principal's office, Joe. He's being lectured by the guy that would open up the checkbook in a case in which John Mara is right and Odell Beckham is wrong. I think most of us agree.
Yes,
imitating
completely.
Being a dog in the end zone, he's wrong.
You know what gets me the most about what Beckham did there to me? Forget about what he did for his team. Forget about that. We looked at it. At least I looked at it like it was disgusting.
Right.
I mean, how about yourself? I mean, don't you feel that you demeaned yourself with what you did there in the end zone? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I mean, to do something like that, to me, that's like demeaning to yourself.
You would think so, but he came out of this meeting with John Mara and basically blamed the NFL.
Yeah, no, I know.
And said, well, I don't know what these celebration penalties mean
and
anymore.
And didn't he basically also say that he's got even more crazier celebrations planned for the future?
Well, he's got different celebrations.
Right, different, okay.
Maybe more creative celebrations.
That was creative.
And I'm all in favor of ripping the NFL when the NFL deserves to be ripped. We did it the other day with some of the calls.
Yep.
You know, whether it's the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Von Miller.
Right, whatever it may be.
But in this case, Odell Beckham Jr. is just flat out wrong. They've opened up the celebrations for you to be creative, to have some fun. You really don't realize, Odell, that imitating, urinating like a dog is not okay?
I mean,
like, come on.
I know, it's unbelievable.
It's not that difficult, Joe.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. I mean, and to me, it's demeaning to you as a person that you're lowering yourself to something like that. What are you doing that for?
You're better than that.
Of course.
And you know, he made that mistake Sunday, and I think everybody makes a lot of mistakes in life. What Odell needed to do yesterday was just simply say, I was an idiot. And he didn't even do it.
He met
with John Mara and came out and said, my only regret was the penalty. That should be one of your regrets, not the only one.
Of course.
You just got yelled at, or maybe it wasn't yelled at. You had a discussion with the owner of the football team. The head coach looks like, he looks like he's helpless right now. Ben McAdoo looks like he's got nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, shouldn't Ben McAdoo, and we all understand the importance of Odell. He's the MVP of the team. Him or Eli, you take your pick.
Right.
They need them. But shouldn't Ben McAdoo put his foot down and say, you know what?
Hey,
you're not going to play the first drive of this game or something like that.
You know what? I agree with you. I'm sure there's other coaches. I know there's other coaches that would. But even Tom Coughlin, we even saw Tom Coughlin, an old school you know, what I would consider a hardline guy like Tom Coughlin, who grew up under Parcells and all the guys, you know, I mean, even him, he didn't even try to deal with Odell, right or wrong?
Right. At that time, he did not. And I remember, because we were sitting there, Ernie and I, for that playoff game, when Bill Belichick, and I get it was only one drive, said to Wes Welker, you're not going on the football field.
Yep.
For one drive.
Yep.
And Welker, I think, was apologetic after. And all he did
was make a dumb joke. Thing about the feet.
Right. That's all he did.
Yeah, right.
Which was a little immature, whatever you want to call it.
Well, but
not as bad as this.
It wasn't what Odell did.
Right.
No, not at all.
I get that the owner tried to say something and it still didn't get through Odell's head, but I still look at this head coach, Joe, and say, hey, he's got to try something.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get it.
And they need him. You're right, 100%. They need him. That's why I was reading something where, oh, maybe they should sit him for a half. And the Giants are 0-3. They can't afford to sit. Let's be honest. The Giants are 0-3 right now. Can they really afford to sit Odell Beckham for a half?
Well, maybe not a half, but would you sit him for a drive?
Maybe a drive. Because they need this guy. Here's where you hit him, though.
Yeah.
If he wants that long-term contract and he wants to be the highest-paid receiver of all time, whatever it's going to be, well, you know what? You got to start changing some things here. Maybe Maris said that to him. I don't know.
Maybe. But, see, Odell still has power in that whole debate because eventually, not this year, but next year, he can say, okay, I'm not coming to camp.
Right.
Now, that's not good for Odell, but it's also not good for the Giants.
No, of course not.
So this whole standoff about the contract when we get there, we're not going to give you the contract if you act like this. Well, Odell can easily respond by saying, okay, I'm not showing up. And we just talked about the importance. And sometimes guys don't show up. Dwayne Brown, the left tackle for the Texans, is still not there. Where are we? It's week four. He's still not there. So I'm not saying Odell's going to do that next year or the year after. But he's got power in this, too. It's not like he's going to be begging for a new contract. I mean, he's got power to say, okay, you're not going to give me a new contract. Well, here's what I'm going to do. So I don't think John Mara has the hammer on this. I think Ben McAdoo is a head coach, and he admitted the celebration penalties are a poor reflection of him. He's right. It is a poor reflection on him. He's the head coach of the football team.
No, you're right. Look, it's a terrible reflection on him, and it's an even worse reflection on him if the team continues to lose. I mean, they're 0-3. So, yeah, it's a tough situation to deal with. Obviously this kid it's very difficult to get through to his head. And I really think you need somebody, some kind of a peer, whoever that guy may be, to get through to this guy. And obviously that hasn't worked if somebody's tried it,
that's the question.
Know.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Do his teammates even care enough?
Right.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.